Hello. What a great day. Well, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you want to say, God. Lord, I pray that you would come and that you would just speak it through me. And Lord, that as your words go out, God, it would be revelation. Lord, there is nothing that is better than you. There's nothing that satisfies our soul more than you. We were created for you to know you and to love you. And I just pray, God, that just from this moment on through this entire conference, Lord, that you would just stir hearts, God, to be passionate for you, Lord. Amen. So I could have, is it just me? I feel very loud. I could have gotten you to read a gospel. I forgot I was going to talk about something out of a gospel. So John 4:14. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God. Satisfying his thirst for God. Y'all, every single place in us, every single place, every place of brokenness, every place of need, every place of want is all about wanting God. That's really what our longing and our desires are, that it's really about wanting God. It's about wanting God to meet with us and satisfy our soul. And it'll well up continuously, flowing and bubbling within to eternal life. It gives us eternal life. So, you know, y'all, we are not have to people. We're get to people. We get to know the Lord. We get to trust the Lord. We get to walk in peace and joy. And that's just something the Lord showed me. And it's kind of been, I fall back on that a lot. We are get to people, not have to people. God doesn't make us do anything. I'm not saying he doesn't work your circumstances behind your back. I'm not saying he doesn't make things to where you finally surrender, because he knows it's all that you will be happy once you're surrendered. So he does, you know, do little things like that. But we're two people. We get to do that. And there is actually a place, y'all, that we can never thirst again. There's actually a place in God that we can never thirst again, or even ever want to thirst again. And I'll just give you some examples of thirsting. We thirst for acceptance. We thirst to feel loved, to feel significant, to feel happy, to be free from fear and anxiety and worry, competition, fighting for our place, anger, frustration, lust, addiction. We thirst to be in control. All those places come from our broken fallenness, all those desires, and all they really are, every bit of that is just a soul's cry to know the Lord. And God knows, as he gets us there, that as we meet him, it will all be met in him. So to never thirst again requires us knowing the Lord. And to know the Lord requires us to seek the Lord and to position ourselves to find him. In Song of Solomon, it talks about three levels of lovesickness. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And just a real quick on this, she's there saying, really just enamored with that she belongs to him and what she's getting out of it. Like, he likes me, you know, I've got God. And then you get your next level, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. And she's beginning to realize there, from my beloved is mine and what all he does for me, she's beginning to shift there and go, I'm my beloved's and he's still mine. I love everything he does for me and gives me. I am, but I'm his. Then she shifts again and says, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. It's in that place, all of a sudden, she realizes that his desire is all about her. He desires all of her. He desires her heart, all of her heart. He desires all of her mind. He desires all of her soul. He desires all of her strength. He desires all of her will and obedience. And as she's beginning, and the reason that she's shifting there is because she's now beginning to experience what it is to have him feel her in those places. She's experiencing what it feels like to not be afraid because she's got hit, because she's finding her fear place in there being filled with his presence. And she's finding where she was once anxious, she's got peace. And she's finding where she was once hurting, she's got joy, even in the midst of it all, in the midst of it all. And so as she's in there and she's meeting with him and she's beginning to experience him and beginning to realize what he's asking of her, and she's beginning to lay those things down at his feet. And the more that we experience him, the more we experience him meeting our needs, the more we want to give him all of that. The more we want to give him all that we have. Because we want to abide in that place of love that we've discovered. We want to abide in his thoughts. We want his thoughts. We want his ways. We want to think like him. We want to feel like him. We want to just all that he is, we want. And that's when you begin to shift too. It's really hard sometimes, I know. That place that when you're first learning about your relationship with the Lord, and you do love how much he loves you, and you love everything he's offering you, but you still have that thing in you, those flesh longings, and you're having to come to the Lord over and over again and saying, and I know because this has been my story, coming to the Lord over and over again, Lord, I want to not want that. I want to want you more. And I know now, when I find myself longing for something that I know is not the Lord, my response to God is, Lord, I want to love you more than that. I want to love what you love. I want to desire what you desire. And there really is a place, y'all, as we get in his presence and we let him minister his love to us, and we receive that, and we just respond with giving him everything that we have, and he starts just shifting our emotions and shifting the things we want. Y'all, that's just how good he is and how big he is. He's all about relationship. He's all about us. He's all about us knowing who we are and knowing who he is. He's all about us coming to a place where we totally surrender in the Lord and we just begin to walk out his life. We begin to allow him to walk out his life in us. Y'all, we are a peculiar people. We're set apart. We're different. But what makes us that way is him. But how do we become peculiar? You can't unless you have revelation from him, because he loves differently. You know, in our humanness, our first response usually, if something's not working out the way we want it to, our first response in our human brokenness is to get afraid, right? But there really is a place where, y'all, where we begin to shift and we all of a sudden want to not be afraid. We want to abide in him. We want to abide in his love. When all of a sudden, instead of your mind going to all the things that could, how it could end up being bad, you just all of a sudden start, your mind goes to thinking on what he's saying about it. And y'all, anything he says and does is full of hope. Anything he says and does is full of goodness and full of joy. And it's got a happy ending, every single thing. He himself is joy. And when we seek him and get in his presence, you will have your being permeated with that. But he's more. He's joy. He's goodness. He's kindness, y'all. When you get in his presence, you begin to want to be kind to people. You begin to not want to throw insult for insult. You begin to change. You begin to abide in his love, and it becomes your obsession, and it's better than anything else. So when you find yourself stepping out and having those moments, you just, those moments seem foreign now. Those moments seem foreign. You don't want that anymore. So there's a place where you can never thirst again, and there's a place where you can want to never thirst again. I don't want to be in competition with you. I don't want your place. I want you to have that. I want to bless you. There really is a shift in us like that, y'all. But it all comes in our surrender to Jesus and positioning ourselves to grow in him, to know him, to love him. How do we do that, y'all? How's our mind transformed? It is the coolest. By going to church. By reading his word, first and foremost, spending time with him. And there you, it's like, there's almost like an edge of that striving, that scripture that says strive to enter in. And it is kind of like a striving, but that's the one thing that you can actually offer God is your will. You can offer God your will. When you stop and say, Lord, you're more important today than me getting up and running into the day, you're important. You're important enough for me to stop and give you this time. You're important enough for me to go to church because you said, don't make it a habit to not go to church. So obviously there's a reason we're supposed to be here. It's because we get fed. And just being with each other, how good and how wonderful it is when the brethren dwell together, just being with the brethren lifts you up. God didn't tell us not to go to church because he's mad or whatever. He did that because he loves us and he wants us to be loved and to love each other. And so positioning yourself to get in his presence. And then what do? We do it over again and over again and over again. And we do it and we do it and we go and we do it until he becomes what we're conscious of all the time. That's abiding in him. When you're abiding in him and you're obeying him and letting him live his life through you, that's what it's all about. That's our relationship with Jesus. That's glorious freedom. Amen. That's where, for freedom we were set free, that's where it's so glorious because you're literally experiencing all that he is. You're experiencing his joy. You're experiencing his obedience. You're experiencing his faith. And it's him, and you've just surrendered to it, and it's permeated your being and changed and transformed you. There's a place like that, y'all. Am I there altogether, 100%? No, but I have tasted, and I have seen, and it is good. And I'm going to keep going after him day after day. Amen.